And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from BBS Radio, and welcome to the show, where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552. Or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. We shine only when we make you shine. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. have enjoyed tremendous success through the years as recording artists, performers, and authors. They have received 7 Grammy Awards and earned 15 gold and 3 platinum records. They enjoyed starring roles on television and stage. They have performed a sold-out concert around the world. They are currently celebrating 40 years in the entertainment business with a musical tribute to the hits and productions that have made up their multifaceted careers. The husband and wife team celebrated 47 years of marriage this year. In 2004, the couple wrote a book which shares their secrets of staying happy and committed to each other in Hollywood. It's entitled Up, Up, and Away, How We Found Love, Faith, and Lasting Marriage in the Entertainment World. It was written in collaboration with Mike Yorke and was released by Northfield Publishing Company. In it, they talk about how they met, their successful musical careers, and their major struggles behind closed doors, offering practical marriage advice and spiritual encouragement along the way. As lead vocalist of one of the top singing groups of the late 60s and early 70s, The Fifth Dimension, they recorded such classics as Up, Up, and Away, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, Wedding Bell Blues, One Less Bell to Answer, and Stone Soul Picnic, to name just a few. After a decade with Fifth Dimension, Billy and Marilyn decided to leave the group and establish themselves as a duo. They had immediate success with the single You Don't Have to Be a Star to Be in My Show. It was a number one hit and earned them a Grammy for Best R&B Vocal Performance by a Duo or Group. After a decade, that success piqued network interest, and CBS TV premiered the Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. show as a primetime summer series in 1977. Marilyn and Billy entered the 80s as an international success. They headlined in Las Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and Atlantic City, played to standing room only crowds and concerts across the country, and won the prestigious grand prize at the International Tokyo Music Festival. Back home, they were sought-after guests for every major television show. In addition to the success they've had together, Marilyn and Billy have also enjoyed solo pursuits. McCoo hosted the popular 1980s television music series Solid Gold for 5 years, and Davis had the chance to realize a lifelong dream to record a religious album with gospel great, the Reverend James Cleveland, entitled Let Me Have a Dream. He also began to explore theatrical opportunities, starring in the musical Blues in the Night at the prestigious Old Globe Theater and in the role of James Thunder early in a religious production of Dreamgirls. Over the years, the talents of McCoo and Davis have been requested for important events on national and global level. They were invited to perform for the Pontiff during the 1987 U.S. visit of Pope John Paul II and have participated in inaugural celebrations for presidents. In the early 90s, Billy and Marilyn joined the original members of the Fifth Dimension for a special reunion tour. And in August 1991, the group was honored with a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. In 1997, Arista Records released an anthology CD of the group's hit releases entitled Up, Up, and Away, the definitive collection. Also in the 90s, Marilyn fulfilled one of her lifelong ambitions by appearing on Broadway in the revival of the musical Showboat, starring in the role of Julie. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. will be performing in their musical theatrical production Up, Up, and Away, a musical fable for a journey and musical celebration of their own iconic music, which includes a loving tribute to the Beatles right here in Florida. On January 12th, they will be in Lakeland, Florida, the Up, Up, and Away musical fable at the Lakeland Center. January 13th, they'll be in Orlando at the Sharon Morse Performing Arts Center at the Villages. January 14th, they'll be in St. Pierce, Florida, at the Sunrise Theater. And on January 17th through the 28th, they'll be performing together as An Evening with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. at the Colony Hotel in West Palm Beach. It is my great pleasure to welcome legendary voices and entertainers Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. to the Ray Shasho Show. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for that incredible introduction.
Yes, right. I was going to say, was that us?
My goodness.
I got tired just listening to
it. Right. I was wore out.
Well, my God. I had to remind you both of all your accomplishments.
Yes.
I was saying, whoever that is, they're old now.
That's
yes,
funny.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But that was thank you for that. That was just beautiful.
Oh, you deserve it. I mean, you guys are legends, in my mind.
It's such a blessing for us, Ray, because we're doing what we always wanted to do.
Yes.
Ever since we were kids. And Billy and I didn't know each other at the time because Billy mm-hmm. grew up in St. Louis and I grew up in Los Angeles. But we both had those ambitions to sing. We wanted to sing, and we've been doing that all of our adult lives, and we're mm-hmm. so thankful.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how fate brought you together and probably God? I
Absolutely.
Believe that.
Yeah, we don't even think it's probably. We know it was.
We know God had a lot to do with it.
Yes. But, you know, we are really thankful to be able to continue to do concerts and to do something like Up in the Way, a musical fable, because it takes the people on the journey of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, how did all this begin? How did you put this production together? And when did you put it together? When did you first get it started?
Well, you know, a young man by the name of Nick Mendoza. Mm-hmm. And when we say young, we mean young.
Yeah, right.
Nick's in his 20s.
Yes.
And his parents are in the have been in the music field for many years, and
right.
they enjoyed the music that we were a part of. They enjoyed the Fifth Dimension. They enjoyed the music that we've done together as a duet, and because Nick heard that music during the time of his growing up, now as an adult, he felt like, you know, this is music from years ago, but this music has appeal to the younger market, to the younger ears, and you know the things that we've done. He felt like that he would love to see it being reintroduced to the younger market, and came up with the idea of why don't you put this together and do a
theatrical
presentation.
Piece on it. Yeah, right. And not only that, Nick is working with our management company and that whole organization. So he was sharing that with our manager. And so they came up with this whole concept of Up in the Way, a musical fable
yes.
for us to tell our story.
It's amazing. I mean, is there any chance that it could end up like on Broadway?
Well, that would be nice. I mean, it's sort of like the Jersey Boys
right.
Thing. But, yes, it would be nice if that could happen, sure.
That would be wonderful. And like you said, you know, I love it when the younger generation, you know, I'm an older guy, too.
Well, you don't sound like it.
No, you sound young.
I know.
Young voice.
You know, neither does Steve Rosenblum. He sounds very young on the phone, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, Steve. Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
He's younger than we are.
Yeah, right.
But he's been with you guys for a long time. It sounds like he's been in the music industry for a long time as well. So.
Yes,
he has. He has, and we have been together a long time. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. The relationship is so important.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, congratulations on 40. It's 47 years now, right? That you've been husband
and wife.
That's
right. 47 years married.
That's incredible.
You know, in your introduction, you said that we were celebrating our 40th anniversary of performing. Actually, it's 50.
Yeah, figure that
right,
now.
Right.
I think your bio was a little, you know, outdated, I think.
A little too kind.
Yeah, right.
Actually, it's 50 because Billy and I started singing together a few years before we got married.
Yeah, it's amazing.
A lot of folks didn't think we were going to make it. You know, because you know when we used to go out with the group, we used to do a lot of
disagreeing
and fussing and fighting. And they said, "Oh my!" And when we announced that we were getting married, they went nuts.
They said, "Oh boy, there goes the group."
You can't do that.
yeah, right.
but you know that was one of the things that appealed to both Billy and me about each mm-hmm. other is the fact that we both have very strong opinions,
right?
And we're not afraid to voice them.
Yeah.
But the thing that was good is that we always liked each other. We were friends before we fell in love.
But one of the great things is that even though we voice our opinions, we listen to one another,
yeah.
too. We,
yeah.
we take what each other is saying seriously.
Exactly. So, we're not so locked into
right.
that my way
my
is way, right.
That's right, yeah. Right.
So we're willing to hear other points of view.
That's really, that is so important. You hit it right on the head. It's a give and
yeah.
take. It's a give and take.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been married 33 years, you know.
Oh,
and
that's beautiful.
And if you're stubborn, forget it. and guys know, you know, just, you know, if the wife says this, just don't argue with her. Just let her have it. Just, you know. You know?
Now, yeah, you guys always say that. You think that's the right thing to say, but that's not what happens.
But you know what? When you open yourself up for another point of view, you find out that you're not right most of the time. You know? Yeah.
That's true.
You know, say, well, wait a minute. I got to take a look at this, you know.
That's true.
Well, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue with that wisdom. No.
Oh, I know you're not.
You know, humor's another part of it. You got to.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, you have to have it. Right.
You got to have it. You know, I think I saw an interview you guys did, and in the beginning before you guys got married and you were kind of dating or kind of you know, started having, I guess, the hots for each other.
That's one way of putting it.
That's a nice way of putting it on the radio, right?
it was Marilyn who was a little bit of the aggressor, wasn't it?
Yes, I can say that. Yeah. But I didn't mind it. I was crazy myself, you know.
I heard you guys were in a car and she kept leaning towards you, you know.
Yes.
That's the story Billy likes to tell.
That's not a story. That's the real deal.
I like that story. See, I can identify with that because my wife picked me up. That's how we first met.
Is that right? See,
that's right.
So you can identify. Yeah, right.
I can.
Oh, that's funny.
And you know, Marilyn, I mean, there were so many guys that were, you know, in love with Marilyn. Secretly.
Oh, yes, every guy I met.
So you had to
I was always fighting.
Yeah, you had to be very protective, huh?
Oh, yes.
But Marilyn, your parents were both doctors, is that right?
That's right, yes. Uh-huh. Boy, did you do your homework.
I always do.
I mean, you're right on the money, you know.
Better believe it. Yeah.
Yes, they were both doctors. They met in medical school, and they ended up with four children. I have two sisters, and I had a brother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And none of us ended up going into medicine.
That's unusual. Yeah, that's unusual. Yes. Usually, yeah.
No doctors in the family in this generation.
That must have been tough growing up, though, because doctors are always on call, and you know.
Well, okay, here's just one quick story.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that I was growing up, that's when doctors were doing house calls.
House calls.
Oh, okay.
And anytime we had family plans to go do something, we always knew that before we ever got to wherever it was we were going, that we were going to sit in the car and wait for Daddy to go in. My father did most of the house calls. My mother would sit in the car with us and make us behave.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, so that was an integral part of my life.
Now, were they family doctors, or were they also specialty as well?
Well, at that time, they started out in what they now call family practice, or they used
family
to call
practice.
Family practice. It's called whatever it is now. But my mother ended up going into anesthesiology.
Oh, okay.
My father decided to try it. He tried it, but he really didn't like it. He really enjoyed, being in the office, and he loved that one-on-one contact with his patients. And so he didn't stay in that program very long.
Yeah. Boy, I really admire them, the way, they were they were married. They were both doctors. I mean, that takes a lot of dedication.
It really does.
Yes.
It really does.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And not only that, they went through a lot of changes, too.
Yeah.
Especially during that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, you guys added the Beatles to your, the repertoire of, for the production.
Up and Away, yes.
Up and Away. Well, is there a reason? Is it just because the Beatles were, popular during you guys' stint during the 60s?
Well, the Beatles definitely we were all in there together.
Right.
We had a few instances where we were battling the Beatles for the.
That's right.
On the charts. Yeah, right.
We won a couple of the battles, but they won the war.
Yeah, right.
it's amazing that it's been 50 years since the Beatles were introduced to the United States, since the Beatles really hit it big. And we felt like they were such an important part of the new musical direction.
Right.
Of contemporary music of that time, and we felt that a tribute to the Beatles as part of our whole musical fable was important.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite songs that you guys do is I've Got a Feeling. You guys did that so well,
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You took it to a different level. The Fifth Dimension, you guys could have played anything and sound great. It's amazing. You were a lot like the Beatles in the way that you guys were talented, sophisticated. You appealed to everybody, yet you were hip and cool, for the generation and everything. Just like the Beatles, pretty much. The Beatles, were like that. They appealed to everybody, young, old, And you guys were the same way.
One of the things we came out, we had a whole totally different look.
Yep.
And the Beatles, they were different because of coming from England.
From England, yes.
Coming from, and with the way they talked, the way they sounded, it was a whole different thing for the young people here,
Yeah.
And so they just caught on like wildfire.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys were USA, USA.
Yeah, right. Hey, USA.
That's right. You're one of us, man.
Amen.
Right.
Well, let's face it. I mean, contemporary music, of course, it's had a major British influence, but we've had a huge American influence.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Egypt a few years ago, and we were at a film program going on there, and the opening night they had a dance troupe up on stage, and the dances that they were doing at the time they were so much like what the young people were doing here in the States at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at one another and we said, look at how the American music market and American tastes have influenced the entire world.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You would have thought you was at a production in New York.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. We could have been anywhere in a major city here in L.A., in the States.
If you didn't look around and see all those turbans.
Yeah,
right. That's what I did.
Right.
I was looking around there, and it's all these turbans on these heads. I said, gee, where am I at?
That's funny.
Yep. Yeah.
But, I talked to a lot of British legendary rock guys, and, of course, they idolize American music. And the thing that they did, they turned the blues, which was, the influence, the early blues was the early influence for rock and roll. If it wasn't for those guys, the early bluesmen, we wouldn't have had rock and roll.
And it would have been a totally different thing.
Right.
The Brits brought it back. The Brits brought
it
back.
They did. Yeah. The Brits brought it back and reminded the United States of the incredible music that was coming out of this country, you know, treated it with such respect and admiration that we had to, you know, we had to start saying, wait a minute, you know.
So taking a look at it ourselves.
This is American music, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, out of that came the jazz.
Yes.
You know, the blues and the jazz.
Yes.
You know?
Blues, jazz, R&B. I love R&B so much.
Yes.
You know, and I really missed the days of the 60s and 70s because R&B was king, you know, back then. And you just don't get that anymore, you know, that clash of
But you know
music.
What? It's coming back. It always comes back.
I hope
so. It always comes back. Yeah.
I grew up in the D.C. area where R&B was huge. And, you know, my dad had electronic stores in D.C. on F Street for years. And you know, people like Luther Ingram would walk in. I sold him a pair of binoculars. The Temptations would walk in back then.
Wow.
You know, it was so cool. Those guys were my heroes, you know. I just want to remind the audience of, you know, here's an example of the music back in 1969. I pulled a Billboard end of the year chart for 69. And number two for the end of the year was Fifth Dimension, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
Mm-hmm.
Beat out by the Archies, which I don't understand. Sugar, Sugar.
Well, you know what? There's always that strange...
that strange number that slides through, and you say,
Sugar, Sugar?
Yeah,
Sugar, by the Archies, you know, which was a song that they Don Kirshner wanted the Monkees to do, and they turned it down. You know, they thought it was just silly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here are some of the songs that fit, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People, they finished at number five. Sly had a couple of tunes on there. But, you know, just the magnitude of the performers. Marvin Gaye was number 14.
Yeah.
You know, Elvis, Suspicious Minds was 18. These are all the guys you beat out. Neil Diamond. Let's see, Zager Nevins, you remember in the year 25-25, that was a huge hit.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
that was huge.
Right.
Elvis had In the Ghetto, that was 35. Johnny Cash, a boy named Sue was in there. And I know, and the Beatles were down here, and they were way down on the charts here somewhere. I know I found them somewhere around here. Yeah, Something was number 83.
Oh, okay.
At the end
well, you
of the
know
year.
What? Every artist had its highs and its lows. We all, you know, that was one of those years that wasn't as big for the Beatles, but overall they were amazing.
Yeah,
but you guys were number two. Yeah. I mean, for the end of the year, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't mind that at all.
No.
And Aquarius, you know, by the way, I'm an Aquarian.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no wonder. No.
And I'm still waiting for my time. When is the moon going to be in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars? Has that happened or is it coming?
I don't know. We don't want to miss it.
We don't want to miss it, right? I don't want to miss it. I'm hoping that'll be my time.
Yes, right.
You guys made so many hits with so many different writers. It's incredible that you've done that. I mean, the group had, you know, Jimmy Webb, of course, Up, Up and Away. Laura Nero, you had a couple of few hits with Laura Nero's penned songs. Burt Bacharach and Hal David. You know, Neil Sedaka. I mean, how do you do that? How do you pick those songs and make them hits? You know what I mean?
Well, we had a producer by the name of Bones Howe.
Right.
Who had an incredible ear for songs.
He sure did.
And Bones would go through, you know, we had all, you know, when you're recording and you're selling, everybody sends you their material.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bones had a wealth of material to go through. And so we always had a wonderful pick of the top writers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would wade through all of that, and then he would find the songs that he felt were worthy of giving some consideration to, and then we would have listening sessions with Bones and then decide on which songs to record. And so a lot of the credit has to go to Bones and his ear.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you can do that. And you know, you made these hits huge where a lot of the artists really didn't, you know, make it that big. And that happens a lot, you know. They're great.
Well, then we had great musicians that were playing the music on the tracks.
Right. Yeah.
We had Bob Alcivar, who was doing wonderful vocal vocal arrangements for us.
Right, right.
We had a lot of great people that we worked with.
And that's one of the reasons we wasn't encouraged to write.
What for?
We had all this at our fingertips. And so, I mean, we weren't going to pass that up.
Now, you guys had the Wrecking Crew working with you. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
the Wrecking Crew recorded our tracks, our rhythm tracks. And, you know, it was just,
best of both worlds. Yeah.
It was the coming, of age at that time of the singer-songwriters. We were right before that, and then they came along, and Jimmy Webb, who wrote a lot of hits for a lot of different people, and then started to record his own things.
Right.
Same with Laura Nero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, it was the beginning of that time, and we were right there. At the edge.
Right, and Neil Sedaka was writing the songs that people were doing, and then he started saying, I'm singing my own songs. And
Neil had huge successes with his own songs.
Success every decade, just about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where were you when your first big hit, did you first hear it on the radio, or when did it strike you that you guys were on the radio and you had a hit?
I don't remember the specific time or place. Do you remember that, baby?
I don't know. I think we might have been in the car.
It kind of slips up on you. It sneaks up on you because first you hear it and you get so excited. Oh my God, we're on the radio! On the radio! And then you start calling in and saying, "Will you please play that song about the beautiful balloon? I don't remember the name of it."
The beautiful balloon.
And the disc jockey would say, okay, Marilyn.
No, they did not.
Yeah. Probably. You're probably right.
And then you start hearing it more and more, and then you start watching the charts. And we'll never forget, you know, one moment that we will never forget was when we found out from our record company that Up, Up, and Away had been nominated for a number of Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, what's a Grammy?
Yeah, right. You didn't even know what a Grammy was.
Because at that time, Grammys weren't even being televised.
Right, right.
So everybody in the record company was excited about it, and our management was excited about it, so we said, this must be pretty cool.
And you guys you won more Grammys than the Beatles, right?
Well, I don't know for sure.
I don't know about that.
I think you did, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, we won 4 Grammys for that one, and Jimmy Webb won it for songwriting.
Right.
And it was very exciting. And so we said, okay, so this is good. This is good.
It's amazing how you kept up the momentum, you know.
Yes, it really did.
And then Marilyn and me, we won the Grammy for You Don't Have to Be a Star, too.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. That was a huge
song. That was exciting. Of course, by that time, we knew what a Grammy was.
Oh, yeah.
And we had left the group, and you know, everybody loved the Fifth Dimension, and so we were afraid that we were going to end up with a lot of people hating us because we had left the group. At that time, you know, our hits weren't coming as often, and we were starting to talk about, and the Sound of Music was changing.
Yeah.
And so we were, as a group, we were trying to decide, did we want to follow the trend, or did we want to stay in the pocket where we were and just appeal to the people who had been, you know, who were fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were never able to agree on what to do. So Billy and I felt like, well, maybe this is our chance. Maybe this is the time that we're supposed to strike out and see what's going to happen.
On our own.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys are very smart for doing it. Not only that, you kind of split solo for a while there too, right? Because you were doing the show on TV. And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, these were opportunities. These were things we had always wanted to do, and we felt like, well, one day maybe we'll try this, one day we'll try that. And so when Solid Gold came along, it was like, well, why not do it? They wanted me. I'd gone in and auditioned, and they wanted to use me with Andy Gibb that first year. Mm-hmm. And Billy and I talked about it, and he said, you know, this could be a great opportunity, and you should do it. And so since we were both in agreement, I went on and did it.
Oh, yeah, but not only that, even though Marilyn was doing it, it gave me an opportunity to be seen on Solid Gold.
That's
quite,
right.
Quite a few
quite
times,
often.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite often, yeah.
Marilyn,
so,
you got a great husband there.
Yes, I do. If I do say so myself, yes, I have a wonderful husband.
That was a smart business decision, but, you know, not everybody would have maybe done that, you know, and so
yes,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, you have to realize when sometimes when you're looking to make a decision, you have to try to not let your ego get in the way,
exactly,
and that's
right.
And that's not easy.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That's
it's
not easy.
Not easy
you
at all.
Chances, but
right.
For different things. Yeah, right.
My daughter got married recently, and
congratulations.
And her husband's name is Bill. So guess what. Was their wedding song.
You're kidding.
Wedding Bell Blues.
Oh. Please
oh,
tell
yeah.
them thank you. That's really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're a young couple, so that's pretty cool that they listen to your music. They love your music.
I think that's...
That's beautiful.
We have to thank her father.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. I did. Yeah. I was a huge influence.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, it is, parents really help your music stay out there.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the truth. You know, kids today have, you know, all this technology at their fingertips. They can go back and research and, you know, and I just wish more of them would, you know, because I did in my dad's generation. I knew every song, you know, every, you know, music, you know, a performer or whatever back in the 40s and the big band era and everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I wish more kids would do that, you know.
Well, you know, yeah. I do think that a lot of kids are listening to, you know, with the advent of YouTube and all the
right.
and all the music that's out there that's available, you know, the streaming there's mm-hmm. just all kinds of music that you can listen to, and when they find out what kind of music seems to appeal to you, then they start suggesting other songs for you to listen to, It's very interesting what the kids are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
The music that's coming out now in the last few years, you can hear the influence of all of these
of all of these
musical trends. You know.
But you know what? Another thing is that they have the information.
Yes.
They have the information because just like any question that you want to ask about the performer, mm-hmm. The artist, or whatever it is. You can just go on your iPhone and type it in and pull it up, and there
uh-huh.
it is right instantly.
Yeah,
it's so easy today to find out anything, you know. And the other thing, you know, there are good and bads about today in the music industry. I was a disc jockey also back in the late 70s. I did top 40 music, so
okay.
I played a lot of fifth dimension. But yeah, I'm not happy about mainstream radio at all. You know, there's no effort there anymore. There's no, you know, the classic rock stations and the oldie stations play the same old stuff, and then there's nothing new coming. You know, there's so many great artists out there, but they're just not getting a chance, you know, to get any kind of exposure at all. So I still want to, you know, we need the pioneers again, you know. We need those guys that, you know, just like how they helped you. You know, you guys with picking this great songs by Lord Nero and things like that. We need
right,
people like that,
yeah,
right,
know?
Right, right. Because there's a lot of good stuff that's just buried.
There's a lot of great stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. You know, I want to mention. I got to mention the other guys in the original Fifth Dimension. Ron Towson. He was a guy that when you saw him in the Fifth Dimension, you knew it was the Fifth Dimension. You know, he was just one
yes.
of those guys.
Mm-hmm. He was our visual image.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's what we always called him.
Round Townsend.
Ron.
But he really stood out. He really stood out,
yeah,
and he had such a an incredible laugh.
Yep.
And when he would, when we were on stage, and he'd start laughing, his stomach would start bouncing up and down. And he was so engaging; people just loved him.
And he actually toured with Nat King Cole, isn't that right?
Yes, he did at one time. Of course, that was before the Fifth Dimension.
Right. I thought that was very interesting.
Yes.
Because I
you know, all of the members of the group had interest in music, and we mm-hmm. had we all had our own experiences before we came together as a
right.
group.
And you had Lamont McLemore and
right.
yep, mm-hmm. and Florence LaRue.
And Florence LaRue,
LaRue,
yes.
Yeah.
And Florence, you know, she still has a group out. It goes out as the Fifth Dimension.
Right.
Is that okay with you guys that she does that?
Oh yeah,
of course.
I mean,
she has
a career. She has the thing still going. I mean, we do them, but we do it.
Yeah.
Over
no.
here, you know.
No, that's right. fine. You know,
it doesn't conflict too much. Yeah.
Good. Because you know, there's always a lot of conflict when somebody takes the name and all that stuff. I see it all the
mm-hmm.
time. But that's a, you know, and plus you guys went out on your own and made a huge success as a duo. So, you know what was interesting? Saving All My Love for You was recorded by you back in 1978, and Whitney
yes.
did it in 1985.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't
and
know
had
that.
An amazing hit with it.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
she did.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like your version.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. So it was a very interesting thing to see, to have happen, you know. And when I heard her voice and I heard her singing the song, I said, oh, my gosh, who is this? She is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was the launching of her career, which was, as we all know, an incredible career.
Well, she had an amazing gift.
Yes, she did.
You know, God
yeah.
blessed her with a gift. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're really excited. We always love coming down to Florida because Florida is such a wonderful market for us. And getting a chance to do these concerts and show off the Up and Away, a musical fable is going
right.
to be a lot
right.
of fun because it's going to be an interesting mixture of music from the era plus us sharing our story, you know, like
mm-hmm.
we're talking with you today and sharing our stories and talking about the things that influenced the direction that we went in and the things that we've been doing.
But we can't forget that after we do Fable, those concerts, we're gonna move right into to Palm Beach.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
to the Colony Hotel and do a supper club there.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be a little different. That's gonna be a totally different approach because that's gonna be mm-hmm. It's gonna be more intimate. We'll
yeah.
be doing music. Of course, we'll always sing. You know, the most important hits. Everybody
mm-hmm.
always wants to hear the major hits. But then we'll also be able to share some things with them individually, you know, like Billy's from St. Louis and
yeah.
Grew up singing the blues. And
right. Yeah, do a little blues.
Yeah,
do a little blues, huh? Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll get a chance
yeah.
to sing torch songs, which I've always loved. And
mm-hmm.
and so it's a different kind. It's like an evening with as opposed to the big theatrical presentation, which
mm-hmm.
has its own dynamic, you know.
Right.
And we're hoping that. Now, you are in the Florida area, right?
Yeah, I'm close to Tampa, in the Tampa Bay area.
Well,
Tampa.
Well, we'd love for you to, we hope you'll be able to come and hang
yeah,
out with
right,
us, maybe.
Right.
That would
well,
be
yeah,
great.
Late, the Lakeland show is going to be close, very, very close.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, well, we'd love to invite you if you're going to be able, if you can make it.
Yeah, I've been talking to
so,
Steve about that, and he said, yeah, come on, we'll invite you. And you'll be
beautiful.
Yeah.
That would be
yes,
great.
That would be great.
I would love
we're
that.
Really looking forward to Lakeland, too, because we understand it's a lovely auditorium, and it's going to be great.
Well, the weather down here is very nice. It's perfect right now. It's sometimes we get a little bit chilly. You know, it gets around 70.
Yeah. All right now. You know, we do that in L.A. You know, we that's why we're hated, you know, around
yeah,
the country.
Right.
I know.
Florida and Los Angeles. And California.
We're both hated. We're both hated, especially when,
yeah.
you know, they get that snowstorm
up.
But
it's supposed to really get cool here this weekend. We're expecting
really?
A lot of rain.
Yes.
And actually, it's going to get down, they say, into the 50s.
To the 50s. Well, we
during
need
the day.
The rain.
Oh, wow.
We need
that's different. That's really
yeah.
different. Billy, I just want to
yeah.
remind the audience about some of your hits after the Fifth Dimension. You had I Hope We Get to Love in Time,
yes.
Your Love, and, of course, mm-hmm. You Don't Have to Be a Star to Be in My Show. That was huge, and that
yes.
won a Grammy Award.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys did, you know, on your own, you both did, you know, and you were both incredibly successful, which is
we have really enjoyed both aspects, you know, being with the Fifth Dimension and having an opportunity to be on in a career that just launched the way that the Fifth Dimension did was such an amazing experience. Because you never know, you know, when you go into the studio and you start recording, you don't know what's going to happen with any of those songs.
Yeah.
You don't know if anybody will ever hear them, you know?
Right.
And then, like
right.
you were talking earlier about the first time we heard ourselves on the radio, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the songs are being played all the time. And then people start asking you for your autograph.
Yep.
And, you know, and you don't even, mm-hmm. you're thinking, they want me to just sign my name? It was so weird, you know, so different.
But you know, we had another record that did very well, and we didn't even think about it because we always thought that if a record didn't get up into the top five, that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But Shine on Silver Moon.
Oh,
that's
our
right.
disco
probably,
hit.
Our
yes.
disco hit. You know,
that's right. Back in the disco
yeah.
days.
That was during the disco period, and.
Yeah.
And, you know, the record company said, well, you guys really need to cut you need to cut a disco record. And we said, mm-hmm. we're not disco artists.
Right, right.
So we went in, and Johnny Luongo, who was mm-hmm. a remixer,
mm-hmm.
and he took our song, and he turned it into a major, major disco record at the time.
Right.
And we were delighted. We said, well, this is cool, too.
Yeah, I played a lot of disco music on the air back then.
Yes.
You know, because that
yes.
was like late 70s, early 80s.
Yes, right, exactly.
Especially Donna Summer. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
She was so
yeah.
cool.
Right.
Yeah.
We were at a memorial last week for a very, very important man who was a major agent who influenced a lot of stars' careers, Marilyn Monroe, Loretta Young,
wow.
Kim Novak, Bill
yeah.
Cosby.
Yeah.
I mean, just major, major artists. His name was Norman Brokaw.
Yeah.
And he was
yeah.
involved in Donna's career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the memorial, Donna has a granddaughter. Her name is Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her last name.
Mm-hmm.
But this young lady, she's 19 years old.
Right.
She sounds like her grandmother.
Sounds like
my
Donna.
Goodness.
She has that huge voice with that incredible sound
mm-hmm.
that Donna had. And Vienna, we just know she's going to do something. People are going to hear about her.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope so.
She's just amazing.
Yeah.
And she's a very pretty girl
mm-hmm.
and very sweet. And everybody was so excited hearing her.
I'm going to get her on the show. For sure. We'll get her on the show.
Really?
For sure.
Up and coming. Up and coming.
Yep.
I was a big Donna Summer fan. She passed away here in Florida, too. I think she was
that's
somewhere
right.
close to Naples.
Yeah.
What?
That she passed away in Florida.
In Florida.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
she did. Yeah, that's right. That she was in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. There's so many of them that have left us. That it's
yes.
sad,
yes,
you know?
You're right about that.
Yes.
Yeah. The music's pretty good up in heaven, though, I'll tell you that.
Can you imagine
yeah,
the choir
right,
up
right,
there?
Right,
whoa.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, who do you pick to sing solo?
I know. Very difficult.
Yes.
You guys also partnered, you kind of collaborate with Cliff Richard. That was interesting.
Yes.
Cliff Richard is
an amazing artist. You know, he's never had the recognition here in the United States
right.
that he deserved.
Right.
But he's huge all over the world.
All over the world. And we were in England together, and we worked on that Soulicious project
yeah.
together,
yep.
which was a clever title for a recording project,
mm-hmm.
and Cliff was a delight to work with, and he is just loved everywhere.
I want to also promote. You have a live album out, which is awesome. And I heard through the grapevine. I might be wrong. Are you guys working on a new album?
Well, no, you know, we're kicking around some ideas.
Yeah, right. That we're trying to put something together.
Yeah. So we're not ready to talk about it yet until it becomes more, you know, a more locked in.
More of a reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So we don't know anything yet as far as what the direction, what kind of, you know,
Not yet. We're still kicking around thoughts. Okay. We have a couple of ideas of a direction that we think would be very interesting to go in, mm-hmm. but that's not locked in yet.
Well, that's exciting. That's very
yes.
exciting.
We would love to get back in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The live project was one that we released because we hadn't done a live recording since mm-hmm. the Fifth Dimension. And, you know, we have a lot of people who come and see our live shows, and they say, you guys should record that. You should
yeah.
record that song.
And people want them right there.
Yes.
You know, but we don't have it, so we decided we would put it together.
And we are so glad we did. It was a great idea to do, mm-hmm. and we're very happy with it, and we're very mm-hmm. proud of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a very successful album, and also your book is also very, very successful. It's got great reviews.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we wanted to, you know, people started asking us how we've managed to stay married in the entertainment world when, you know, in the entertainment business where everybody gets divorced after five years, ten years max.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
And so we felt like, you know, everybody always wants to know what's it like to become, you know, to become a star.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, we'll spend some time talking about that in the book. But we also wanted to encourage people in their relationships.
Right.
Because we wanted people, you know, all you hear about are divorces.
I know.
And we
right,
felt
yeah.
like if we can kind of share with people what some of our struggles have been and how we've managed to work through them, we may be able to help save some marriages out there.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's important.
Yeah, I love the spiritual side of you guys as well. And talk about Jesus at the Roxy.
Oh, you know that story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was an amazing experience. I had just I had a girlfriend share with me about her walk, her relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. and. It was just what I needed to hear at the time. I was feeling a real void in my life.
Right, right.
Like, with all the wonderful accomplishments that I had enjoyed, there was something missing. And how can you be missing mm-hmm. something when you have a great husband and you have a wonderful career? What do you mean missing? Isn't that what life is all about?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same thing that I was wondering about too, Ray. You know, like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I have everything that you're supposed to want, so what could possibly be missing?
Right.
And then she started sharing with me about her spiritual life, and I realized I didn't really have one.
No, we didn't. We didn't have a spiritual life, and that's one of the things that was missing.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that they need a spiritual life.
And when you start realizing that God has a plan for us,
uh-huh.
God has a plan for each one of us.
Sure.
And that he really loves us and cares about us. I mean, it's like, really?
Yeah, right. Well, just because we don't think about the Lord.
Right, exactly.
Know.
And we started reading. I started reading the Bible. She started walking me through the Bible, mm-hmm. and she started talking to me about Jesus and about God's plan for our lives. And
mm-hmm.
and it was what I needed to hear. You know, it was
yeah.
what I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I prayed and I asked the Lord to come into my life. And I started to find a peace, and I started to find that was what I had been looking for, and so now I wanted Billy to know the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Billy had been talking to me about our spiritual life, but I wasn't even interested in discussing it at that time.
Right. No, not at that time. Marilyn was pretty hard on Christians.
You
know, she was going to tar and feather all of them.
No.
You know? But
now
but
I became
knew,
one.
Yeah, and then she became one, right? Scared me to death. No. But I knew that I had to get my act together too, because I had been away from I've been away from the church for a long time. You know,
yes.
And I knew that I needed to get back to that.
Yes.
You know, and Marilyn was the eye opener for me for that. So.
Right.
And so we had some friends that in the music business, Frank Wilson, who produced our second duet album.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna call it The Two of Us.
Okay.
Yes, and mm-hmm. so he and some friends got together and they did this program. There's a rock and roll club on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. called
okay.
the Roxy. And they decided to share their faith, and they called it Jesus at the Roxy.
Yeah.
And so we ended up going that night for that to see it, and the place was packed. The place was absolutely packed, and it was a rainy night. So we said, now this is different. This is a Sunday night, and
people
it's raining.
And people standing in line in the rain. I'm
to
going,
get
oh,
in.
Wait a minute.
And it was, and so that was what Jesus at the Roxy was about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see more and more people are turning to the Lord because, you know, I'm seeing more churches. All kinds of denominations. I think the non-denomination has gotten very, very popular. We've got a church here that looks like a football stadium. It's right.
Wow!
Right,
really?
Oh, that's
oh my goodness!
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
They got movies and this big band, and it's incredible. I mean, you know, just to see that many people all together worshiping is pretty
that's
cool.
That's great.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. That's very exciting.
It is very exciting. Yeah. Marilyn and Billy, here's a question that I ask everyone that is interviewed. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform, collaborate, sing with anyone from the past or present, who would you pick?
Hmm.
And they could have passed
that's
on
a great
already.
Question.
I wish I had known that you were going to ask
that
before we talked
to
you, so we could have really, could have really thought about that. And wow,
that's interesting.
You know, I'll tell you, I really like Alicia Keys' work.
She's
amazing, and watching her on The Voice, and watching her work with the artists that they've worked with this season.
Yeah.
I think that working with somebody like her and her music, and she has such an interesting, different approach. And she's very clear about who she is, and I love that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think individually I would enjoy working with Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got to get you guys together. That'd be another chapter in your life, huh?
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Well,
how about you, Billy?
Well, I've got a couple of people. Well, in the past would have been Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
You know, because he was so creative and such a gentle soul.
Right.
And I enjoyed the things that he was doing. but today, I would love to do something with Lionel Richie.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Yes, he's incredible. Yes.
There's one more person that came to mind, which is a little. I mean, it's in another genre, another direction, more theatrical. But she's so talented and so versatile that she can do anything. And that's Audra McDonald. She's such an amazing artist.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
You know, the things she does on Broadway are tremendous. The things that her acting is incredible, and. The music. I mean, she's able to do all kinds of music.
She's got a beautiful voice.
What a voice.
Beautiful voice.
She's amazing.
Yeah. You know who I love that, you know, God took her way too soon was Sarita Wright. Did you know Sarita Wright?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, right.
She was amazing.
Right.
She was amazing. A lot of people
Sarita,
don't know that.
Sarita was at Jesus at the Roxy that night, too.
That's right.
You're kidding me.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow, that's a coincidence.
Isn't that a coincidence?
That is a coincidence.
Yes, she was there. She was there that night.
Yep.
Boy,
of course
that was great.
She collaborated with Billy Preston, who was the fifth Beatle, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
Yeah, she was amazing. And Billy Preston was amazing.
He was amazing. And Minnie Riperton was another one that you
and
know,
Minnie.
I thought she could have had
talent.
Quite a career.
Minnie
what
Riperton.
Talent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, there have been some incredible artists to come along. That's what's so beautiful is talent.
Yep.
And singing voices, you know, there's so many people out there that are gifted, and it's just, and one of the wonderful things about YouTube is that we get a chance now to hear and see people all over the world.
Exactly.
With incredible talents.
Exactly.
And it's so much, it's so exciting to see.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Well, I'm so grateful for having you and Billy on the show today and for all the great music you guys have given us through the years.
Thank you, Ray.
Such
Thanks,
a
Ray.
Treat
Thanks.
For me
And
to
we hope we'll get a
on.
Chance to see you when we're down in Lakeland.
Yeah,
I hope your schedule will work out for you to
I hope
to
so.
Just
I
come and hang out with us.
Right.
I'd love to see you guys. You two have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a healthy New Year.
Okay. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
You take care.
You too.
All righty.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Purchase their latest CD, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Live at Amazon.com, and also their best-selling book by Billy Davis, author, Marilyn McCoo author, and Mike Yorkey author, entitled Up, Up and Away, How We Found Love, Faith, and Lasting Marriage in the Entertainment World. Also available to purchase at Amazon.com. Both would make excellent, excellent Christmas gifts. Also visit their official website for the latest news and concert dates at www.mccoodavis.com. And, of course, Marilyn and Billy are on Facebook, www.facebook.com/McCooDavis. And on Twitter, www.twitter.com/McCooAndDavis. Very special thanks to Steve Rosenblum of Sterling Winters for arranging this interview with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., and to Doug and Don Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call me at 941-877-1552 or email us at raypublicityworksagency.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of a Neglected American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to Be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. We will see you again on December 26th when our special guest will be singer, guitarist, and songwriter John Hall of Orleans. And to everyone, have a joyous and peaceful Merry Christmas and Hanukkah. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio, Station 1.